opening up altar call and calling it a night. Isn't it wonderful when the Holy Spirit comes down in our midst? Is it wonderful that on a Friday night, when a lot of people are out there doing what they're doing, we could be right here in the presence of the Lord, rejoicing. And you know what? I might be a little bit biased, but the songs are way better. Have a little thought on my heart tonight. And I pray that the Lord would bless us. And I've been thinking about the love of God and how wonderful it is. You know, when we get into places where we shouldn't be, his love still reaches out to us. So I'm going to write a title on our board. Sorry, if it doesn't come through clearly. And Peter.
See the depths of his compassion, giving heaven theirs to prove by a life of pain and sorrow that the Lord our God is love.
Thankful for the love of God. I've been thinking a little bit about failures and how, let's be honest, we have them. I would be remiss if I were to stand before you all and try to pretend like I've never failed the Lord, to pretend like I've never done anything that's been a disappointment to the Lord. But I stand to tell you that there is forgiveness and his love still reaches out to us. And so in thinking about this, I started thinking about Peter and what he had done. And many of us are aware of, maybe not where this particular, this is actually in the scripture and Peter. But we're going to deal with what Peter, why the Lord had to signal him out in this. And I again want to stress, if you have found yourself in a place where you have failed the Lord, we don't have to be talking about sin. But if you have failed the Lord, that there is a place where he could say, and Damar, and Sister Mary, and Sister, there's still a place that is open for all of us if we have failed him. And his wide arms of love will be open wide, waiting for us to come on in. Mark, the 14th chapter, verse 27 through 31. Mark 14, 27 through 31. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.
But after that I am risen,
I will go before you into Galilee.
But Peter said
unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I.
And Jesus saith
unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice.
But he spake the more vehemently,
If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all.
And they came to a place.
We're good right there. Thank you very much. So here we have where the Lord came and he said, you know what? Tonight some things are going to happen. And you're going to do this. And Peter stood up in his zeal. You know, there's nothing wrong with us being zealous for the Lord. But we must also have all of everything that pertains to us must be put in its proper place. When the Lord points something out to us, who are we to challenge it? The Lord told Peter, tonight, this is what's going to happen. You are all going to depart from me. You're all going to run. Let's see, where's that verse again? Verse 27, all ye shall be offended of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall scatter. So he was saying that this is what's going to happen. Tonight, I am going to be smitten. They're going to come up and they're going to lay hold on me and they're going to take me away from you. And because it is written, it's prophecy that this is what's going to happen. And then the prophecy says that you're going to scatter. Now, who gives prophecy? The Spirit of the Lord. So when the Spirit of the Lord points something out in our life, do we have the right to challenge it? Or do we realize, Lord, I need your help? But no, instead, Peter, and I can't fault Peter for this, because he was wanting to take his place, his stakes with the Lord. No, though all men may forsake thee, though by thy grace I'll fall. But he didn't say though by thy grace, did he? He just said, though all these other disciples go their way, I'm going to stick with you. So he singled them out. He said, not only are you all going to run and scatter away, you, Peter, you're going to deny me. Three times before the cock crows twice. That's something to think about. But yet he still said, no, I'm trusting Father. I'm going to go with you all the way. They're going to come lay hands on you. And they all said. And you drop down a few verses. What happened when they lay hold on him? It says they all scatter. That would have been a time when the Lord points something out to us that's going to happen. When the Lord points something out in our life, that is the time for us to go to prayer. That's the time for us to seek his face. That's the time, because they were about to go through a hard trial. Lord, I need you in this, in the midst of this. Lord, help me. But yet they chose to say, you know what? I know it's a warning from you, but no, I'm strong enough. You know, in and of ourselves, we're not strong enough for anything. We can't even walk without him. Tell me, do you know how to breathe without him giving you breath? Do you know how to just wake yourself up? Do you know how to command your bones to move? And all? No, it comes by the power of the Lord. The man that was laid at the gate, he wanted to walk. But it took Jesus passing by to say, rise up and walk. It took Jesus passing by to, the woman could not heal her own issue of blood. It took Jesus passing by and for her to reach out and touch him, for her to have the strength, for her to be able, well, for him to dry up the blood. We can't do anything in and of our own strength. So Jesus came by and he said, I'm giving you a warning. This is what's going to happen. So you drop down to verse 65 through 77 of the same chapter. 14, verse 65 and 77.
65. And some began to spit.
And some began to spit on him.
And to cover his
face.
And to buffet him.
And to buffet him.
And to say unto him.
Yes, prophesy.
And the servants to strike him with the palms of their hands.
Yes.
And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter
warming himself,
she looked upon him
and said, Thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth.
But he denied, saying, I know not.
Yes.
Neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew.
Hold your place. What happened? Now he was told, this is what's going to happen. You're going to deny me three times. But before the three times, the cock is going to crow twice. So here we see he's denied him one time, and the cock crew. That sounds like a warning.
Yes.
Peter, you're in a place where the Lord has already told you this is what's going to happen if you do, when you do this. And you're still stuck in your own thoughts, stuck in your own ways that this is not what's going to happen. I'm going to go with him all the way. I'm not going to deny him. Cock-a-doodle-doo. That should have been a warning. Lord, I need to get somewhere and pray. You know, when the Lord sends pricks to our hearts, that's a time for us to steal away and pray. To get into a quiet place, Lord, I'm in a place right now. You've given me a warning, and I, in my foolishness, thought otherwise. But Lord, you're showing me that it's coming. So Lord, I need your help. I need your grace in this trial. Keep reading, please.
And a maid saw him again, 69, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them."
This is one of them.
And he denied it.
And he denied it again.
And a little after, they that stood by said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto."
But he began to curse and to swear,
saying,
I know not of this. Lord have mercy.
And the second time the cock crew.
Yes.
And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "For the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept.
Here we see multiple things was giving Peter away. One, they saw him with them. What did Peter do when they laid hands on Jesus? He drew a sword and did what? Cut off the ear of the man. Do you not think that people are going to recognize you? You weren't just in the background with all the crowd and you're just standing there watching. You stepped out and put yourself on display because you drew your sword and sliced off a man's ear. And then Jesus had to come back and heal the man. Peter, what are you thinking? I know you're under pressure, but come on. You put yourself out there. So here he is denying. I don't know this man. I'm not one of them. To the point of cursing and swearing. What's Peter guilty of here? Denying the Lord? What does the Ten Commandments teach us? Thou shalt not. What'd you say?
Lying.
Is that a sin? Oh, I can tell what kind of, whatever lie I want, as long as it's a little white one. That's what, it's in parentheses in the Ten Commandments. Y'all didn't see that part? It's because it's not there. There is no a small print there underneath that thou shalt not lie. It was a commandment given by God. And then you see Jesus carried on into the New Testament. But here we have where Peter, he has denied the Lord and he went and wept. Now, before we turn over to Ann Peter, get 2 Corinthians 7 and 10. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10.
For godly sorrow
worketh repentance
to
salvation,
not
to be repented of,
but
the sorrow of the world worketh death. Says Peter when he wept. I believe in Peter's fault, he realized he was wrong. And he realized that he had brought shame to the gospel that he had preached, he walked with the man. If Peter wasn't a stranger to Jesus, he walked with him. He's seen the works of the master. Peter got to do something that only two people recorded in scripture have done, and that's walk on water. You know, we could look at, he looked down, but you know what? He still walked on water. I remember as a child trying to get out there to the pool and trying to step, see if I could do it and fall right in. That's not something that I have the abilities to do, but Peter did. Peter knew the work of the master. So when he found that he was in this place where he denied his master. The guilt, the sound, I'd imagine that it could have been where that courtyard was full of all this loud noise, all the talkings going on, everybody talking amongst themselves. What are they going to do with Jesus? What are they going to do to him? And you know how it can get when you get in a large convention, you just hear a whole bunch of noise, can't make sense of nothing. But I have a feeling that over all that noise, over everything that was going on, Peter heard that cock crew, and that was all he heard. He didn't hear the conversations anymore because now everything that the master said was going to happen has come to fruition. I've denied him and it's come true. And he went away and wept bitterly. I believe he was asking the Lord for forgiveness. That's the key. When we fail the Lord, when we backslide, but when we just have a fault, a failure, don't have to be sin. But when we have a failure, there is still a place for godly sorrow to work in our hearts that will, and the Lord will respond. Peter went and wept bitterly. You know, that's the difference between Peter and his counterpart, Judas. You know, Judas, what happened? He betrayed the father too. He went out and gave him a kiss, betrayed by the Son of Man with a kiss, and got 30 pieces of silver. And then after they took him, what happened? Judas went and said, I don't want nothing to do with this man's blood. I betrayed innocent blood. And then he went and hung himself. I fully believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if Judas would have had godly sorrow, there was room for him at that cross. If he had only humbled himself down to the Father, humbled himself down to the Master, there would have been a difference. But he chose the route that he chose to take. You know what? We can choose when we fail the Lord to give up. We can choose to walk away. It does no good. You know, just because you fail the Lord, when we fail the Lord, and if we, that doesn't mean just start throwing away all the doctrines. Just, you know what? I done failed him on this line. I'm gonna just start doing this. I'm gonna start doing that. And I'm gonna start letting this thing in. Still hang on to the truth. Seek the Lord, ask him for his forgiveness. Godly sorrow still works in 2022. Godly sorrow has not lost its power, but you have to be truly sorry. Peter went out and wept. And Peter, Mark 16, 1 through 7. Y'all don't realize I'm almost finished already. If it ain't good to you, it's good to me. The Lord is blessing. Mark 16, 1 through 7. Mark 16, 1 through 7.
And when the Sabbath was passed,
yes,
Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them,
Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth,
which was crucified.
He is risen. He is not here.
Behold the place
where they laid him.
But go your way.
Tell his disciples and Peter
that he goeth
before you into Galilee.
There shall ye see him
as he said unto you. Go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. You know, that was a very special message sent from the Father to Peter to let him know your prayers were answered. You slipped up. You failed. You're guilty of that. But godly sorrow with a mixture of his blood has cleared you of that guilt. And not only has it cleared you, I'm still including you in my ministry. Now, go tell my disciples and Peter. I'm sure Peter felt pretty guilty about his participation in the crucifixion of our Savior. Here it was. The man called him out of darkness into the marvelous light. This man made him somebody. I don't think Peter wanted to be somebody, but the Lord raised him up, gave him something that he has over the majority of us. I've never walked physically with Jesus. I've had the privilege of walking with him spiritually, and that is amazing. I could only imagine what it's like to physically walk with the Savior. But he got to walk with the Savior, but he denied him. So when the message came, go tell my disciples and Peter, I'd imagine that it was joy bells ringing in Peter's mind that he forgave me. I'm back. I'm on his side once again. I've been battling with this in my mind. The enemy has been coming up against me. Oh, you say you're one of his disciples. Oh, you got to walk on water. You did this, you did that. But when it counted the most, you denied him. Isn't that how you've been saved all these years and yet you fell for that? The enemy ever talk to y'all? You call yourself a saint. You call yourself saved. You say you belong to the church of God and you fell for that. And you know what he wants to keep doing? He wants to keep just banging you, banging you, banging. He wants to keep screaming louder and louder. So that's all you can hear is your failure. But when you get into a quiet place where the Father is and you bow before him and ask, Lord, I have failed you. Lord, I have this fault. I have this failure. And I need your mercy, Father. He's faithful. He's faithful. Go tell my disciples and Peter that I've risen for the day. And I won't, not only that I've risen, meet me. You're going to get to see me. And he appeared before Peter. That's what the Lord wants to do for us tonight. We'll turn to one other place. I told y'all I'm almost finished. Luke, the 15th chapter. Another example of the Lord's willingness to restore. Luke 15, 1 through 24. 15, 11 through 24. Luke 15, 11 through 24. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living.
Not many days after,
yes,
the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance.
Wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen, yes,
and he sent him
into his field to feed swine.
And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself,
he said, how many servants of my father have bread enough and to spare,
and I perish
with hunger?
I will arise,
yes,
and go to my father. And will say unto him,
Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
And he arose.
Yes.
But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion.
Yes.
And ran and fell on his neck
and kissed him.
And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him.
Yes.
And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead
and is alive again.
He was lost
and is found. And they began to be merry. You know what? He said, Father, I've sinned against you, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. I'm in a place where there is no benefit out in the world. It's dry. There's a famine. I can't eat. I'm eating slop. Stuff that pigs eat. And pigs, I'm no farmer, trust me. I've told how one spring break, my dad got a job for his football team out there in Sanger, somewhere over there, planting a grape vineyard. And for some unknown reason, I don't know why he got this job for them, because not only about two of them actually showed up. Well, he already committed to the job, so I had to go out there. That was not the way I wanted to spend my spring break, planting a grape vineyard. And I learned then, farm work is not for Brother DeMar. It is not my forte. It is not my specialty. I can only imagine what it's like to raise animals. I'm cool. I don't want to. But I have heard pigs are pretty disgusting, and they will eat just about near anything. So here he is eating the same things that they were, and he came to himself. Are you coming to yourself tonight? Realizing that we don't have to carry the guilt of failures and faults. We can come right to an altar of prayer. Lay all of our burdens, lay all of our cares, lay all of it. And he's faithful. He'll pick it up and he'll bear it for us. He said he came to himself and realized my father has more than enough to spare, that he could use one more servant, because his servants are eating well. And he said, and he went, and as he was approaching, the father saw him afar off. I can see in my mind's eye that father checking out his window every day. Is my son coming back home? That's what the Lord's doing. He's wanting us to return. Is my son coming home? And there's a horse and buggy. No, that ain't him. That's still not. That one. That looks like my son.
Right.
There's my son. Y'all get ready. He went out there, ran, and grabbed him by the neck, hugged and kissed him. And what did his son say? Father, I have sinned against thee. He admitted his failure.
Yes.
We're going to have to admit some things to the Lord. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to bring it to me and tell me. I have no power to forgive for you. I can help pray, but I have no power to forgive. He confessed it to the father, to his father. Father, I've sinned against thee and against heaven. I'm sorry. He didn't just say, you know what? I'm your son. I went out there. I got involved in all of this. I spent all your inheritance. But because I'm your son, I'm going to move back into my bedroom and I want everything to be the same. No, he said, Father, I've sinned. I don't need restoration back to where I was. What I need, I'm willing to be your servant. Are we willing to be the Lord's servant tonight? Realizing he has something so much better. Father said, you're my son. Come on in and we'll make ready the feast for you. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. Do you have a fault? Do you have a failure? Do you have an area that you're needing to measure up higher to the standard that God has set before us? Do you have somewhere in your life where you need to cut off? The Lord's willing to do it. And the Lord's waiting with arms wide open. my child, come on in. Come on into my surgical room. We'll take care of this. We'll patch that. We'll get this all work. You will be like new. Don't worry. He's not running, waiting with judgment. But, yes, there's a but. There is a day that is coming where he will return with judgment. And you will not have that opportunity any longer to say, Father, I've sinned against thee. There is coming a day where he is going to come back with judgment. And we will see the severity, but trust me, there is love mixed in there when he returns. But why wait? Why wait till then? It does us no good. Seek him now while he may be, while he's doing the forgiving. While the doors are still open. Do it before the doors to the wedding is closed. There's no point in waiting that long. Trust me. It feels good. I've told some of my family members, they've gotten saved. They'll start testifying. Why didn't y'all tell? I tried to tell you all along how good it is within the courts of the master. It is wonderful. Don't wait. You have something that you need to bring before the Lord. He's ready. He's willing. And he's able. And he's faithful and just to forgive. Isn't it a wonderful privilege? I found it to be true. Pray for me.